swore and totally my bad. Unexpected as well. I was so certain you would just leave the Corps behind when you found out it was going to go. But it appears I miscalculated.
It's okay. Got many tasty levels.
Ha ha ha! That you did! I must say, you genuinely surprised me that day. Not everyone would be willing to blow up an entire city if the opportunity presented itself.
Blow up a city?
Fizzy buttered in.
You're telling me this thing really did cause that calamity?
Yes and no. It's complicated.
And you don't mind?
Why would I?
Don't you care that so many people died?
Do you?
Of course I do!
Really? Then I suppose you mourned and prayed for every last one of those 8,235 souls? You only selfishly mourned your own father and brother, did you not? You'd probably put the incident completely out of your tiny mind if those two weren't tangentially involved.
Jack was right on the money. Even though Fizzy understood it was, objectively speaking, a horrible tragedy, she just couldn't bring herself to truly care about some humans being killed off somewhere. They were, after all, not her people.
Now, do you have any more inane questions?
Just one. Why does this thing get to meet an actual god face to signpost? What's so special about it?
It's consistently unpredictable. Even before the big bada boom. I actually went and reviewed the dungeon's logs and found them to be quite entertaining. Here, let me give you some examples.
The flagpole pulled out a small booklet and opened it to a bookmarked page.
This thing survived its first 2 weeks in this world through a mixture of luck and ability. It took all chances that the flows of chaos presented it with and, for better or for worse, latched onto them with all its might without any hesitation. I respect that sort of thing, you know. A chance exists to be taken, after all.
The three-eyed fork turned the page on the pamphlet it was holding in its bottles.
It then absorbed the warlock job from a corpse. You know what the odds of it succeeding at that were? 4,000 to 1! And it managed to pull it off on only the third try. Well, its current chance of succeeding at that same outcome is closer to about 400 to 1, but that's beside the point.
She turned the pigeon upside down.
And that magnificent stroke of good fortune happened right after it broke out of the dungeon through what I can only describe as dumb luck and a total fluke. I can't say that failed to impress me. Then it sort of did its own thing outside the dungeon for a bit, fought some adventurers, ate some people, yada yada yada. Oh, here's a good one. It gibbed a dwarf just as she was teleporting away with a portal key. Her friends' reactions when they saw a pair of disembodied legs appear out of thin air was really something else, let me tell you.
Lawrence rolled up the parchment and put it away inside his igloo.
So, that's roughly the time when I started keeping an eye on it, mostly through those two familiars. And here's the really amazing part. I realized that I'd actually been sort of introduced to it before that calamity stuff even happened. This thing right here somehow managed to forward me its status when making a demonic contract. Do you know how many times that has happened?
I don't.
Never! It has never, ever happened! I have absolutely no idea how the fuck it actually did that either!
I did. Boxy said with a stupid look on its face.
Yeah,
said Nick.
Oh, right. You wouldn't know, but I'm actually Caterella Mongot's boss.
Who?
I believe he introduces himself as Carl to mortals.
You know Carl?
Well, I don't really know the guy. He just works for me. All demons do, technically speaking. Even the Demon King. Though he's more widely known as Overlord of the Infinite Abyss.
Overlord? Like Punchy?
More or less. Him too, by the way. You know, I was the one who created them. Demons, I mean. Completely by accident, too. It started as a little experiment that went really out of control, you see. And the result was a selfish, uncooperative bunch that don't give a flying fuck about mortals. Those kids. I'm so proud of them. Ah, forgive me. I don't often get to brag, so I got a little sidetracked.
Frank reined in his enthusiasm and proceeded with the meat of the matter.
Point is, I wasn't actually planning on making an appearance at all. Sort of ruins the fun if I do that. But that's when two particular demons started raising a huge fuss over their unauthorized and unwarranted contract termination, or what have you. I mean, the fact your random acts of violence somehow got a fiend and a succubus to agree on something is just mind-boggling. So, all things considered, I decided I would help you out. And that's why I brought you here.
Then you're going to make me a warlock again?
Boxy's face looked like it was about to explode from excitement.
No.
And then sank into the depths of despair.
I'm going to give you a chance. That's the best I can do, and I'm only doing it because I like you. Also, it's partly because that bitch Teresa cheated, and I don't like that. Therefore, I'm going to even the odds a little, as it were. So, without further ado...
A window popped up into the mimic's mind. Defeat the Lich. Description. There's an undead lich hiding in these mountains. It has been raising its own personal army of the undead in secret. Find it, defeat it, and claim victory for Chaos. Difficulty? 6 turtles. Time limit? Until the God of Uncertainty gets bored. Reward? Your warlock and artificer jobs will be fully restored. You will become the chosen hero of the God of Chaos. Progress? 0 out of 1.
No rush,
Chris said reassuringly.
It's a big undertaking, so do consider it carefully.
Boxy understandably had a few questions about this proposition. The reward was exactly what it wanted right now, but that difficulty rating of 6 turtles was more than a little odd. However, it decided it was probably better to address a more pressing concern first.
What's a lich?
Oh, right, you have no idea. Basically, a super powerful undead being that commands hordes of the undead. They also love throwing magical attacks at people's faces.
Like warlocks with skeletons?
Well, you're not exactly right, but not exactly wrong either.
So it was a spell-slinging opponent that had many familiars. A dangerous thing to have as an enemy, to be sure. Still, the mimic would probably end up accepting the quest anyway. The reward was way too tasty to ignore. Speaking of the rewards, that second bit raised quite a few questions as well.
Do I have to be a hero?
It asked.
I'm afraid so. I'm not doing this out of the kindness of my spleen. I actually expect to get something in return from you.
Oh.
Do you not like the idea?
No.
Well, why not?
Being hero. Not tasty.
Tasty? Oh, right, I see. That's too bad. And here I had estimated there would be an 84.255% chance of you finding it tasty. I admit your ability to beat the odds was the whole point of this, but this just seems personal. Is being a hero really all that, untasty?
Yes.
How come?
Heroes share their tasties and shinies with others. Heroes die fighting scary things instead of running. Heroes are idiots. I want to be less idiot, not more.
Oh, no, no, you're thinking of the wrong kind of hero, Boxy. I'm not referring to the selfless people who sacrifice themselves for the good of others.
You're not?
I'll explain. Being the hero of a god basically means you'll become their chief representative in the mortal plane. The living embodiment of the virtues they stand for. In my case, it's random acts of whatever. You do get a few unique divine powers to play around with, too, so it's not like the title doesn't have its benefits.
The mimic had to agree. That certainly sounded much tastier than what it was imagining initially. It sounded like Morgan here would be its boss, but it could probably live with that arrangement. Just so long as it was in the form of quests or tasks, rather than being directly controlled like when it was a simple dungeon monster. Of course, that was only if it actually managed to kill that lich thing.
What if I fail quest? Or give up?
Boxy would certainly try to do it, but it wanted to know if backing out to preserve its own life was an option.
Then you'll just have to get your jobs and levels back the old-fashioned way.
So there were no apparent downsides to abandoning this endeavor entirely? Come to think of it, the quest didn't ask for a deposit like those mercenary guild assignments. So that made sense. Having confirmed that it had the option of simply giving up was the last thing the mimic needed before making up its mind.
Okay, I accept.
Boxy Team Morningwood has undertaken a quest. Defeat the Lich. Fizzy raised her arm like a schoolgirl requesting permission to speak. It appeared she had finally realized that rudely interrupting an actual god was probably not a smart idea. Especially not one whose entire domain hinged on unpredictability and randomness.
Yes, what is it, Fizzle Sprocket?
Earlier you said the goddess of truth and justice cheated. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, she cheated. She got super butthurt her chosen hero got one shot by a box and revived him. She's not supposed to do that. If not for her involvement, Boxy over here wouldn't be in this mess. Well, it would be in a mess, just not this one. The trouble this thing gets up to really is something else.
Nick turned his gills to face Boxy once again.
By the way, great work with that priestess from about a week ago. Oh, man, you should have seen that stuck-up bitch's face when I showed her the image of her faithful servants taking it up the arse like a champ. It got even uglier when I told her the one that killed her also stole a holy pearl and pinned the blame for the crime on that dead nun. That really rustled her jimmies, let me tell you. She got so mad that she threw a gigantic hissy fit. It was amazing!
The Sister Lyo incident that Erosa was up in arms about had apparently been staged by a monster. And yet that tidbit was somehow the least surprising thing Fizzy had heard tonight.
I will treasure that memory for a long while. Anyway, being the sore loser that she is, she went and sent a divine revelation to her oracle saying something along the likes of, "The perpetrator is an Erosa." That's why that Edward guy was there a few days ago.
The dumb smile Boxy sported instantly turned into a huge frown. The way it understood things, the whole reason it was in this position was because these deities were having some sort of internal dispute that it had nothing to do with. Noticing the scornful glare, the god of probability tried to make an excuse.
Hey, you were bound to get found out eventually, so don't put the blame on me, all right?
But it just kept silently staring daggers at him.
Okay, okay, I admit it was almost entirely my fault. I'm here taking responsibility for my rash actions, though, aren't I?
But did not help with escape, it questioned.
How do you know I didn't?
Countered the deity.
My manipulations are so subtle that nobody can spot them before it's too late. Someone overlooking to check the inside of your mouth, or the watertight seal on your cage's control box eroding away. Perhaps it may not have been as obvious as sending the four overlords to bust you out, but I could have easily been responsible for facilitating your escape.
So did you help or not?
Repeated Boxy, clearly not buying into Clarence's cryptic bullshit.
All right, fine. I could have, but I didn't. Interfering with the lives of mortals in such a direct manner is cheating, and I don't want to stoop to Teresa's level. That would only spark a godly miracle measuring contest that I want no part of. Besides, watching you struggle to break free all on your lonesome was far, far more fun than just letting you out.
The mimic thought on those words. It considered their implications and came to a singular conclusion which it decided to share with this mysterious entity.
I don't like you.
Well said, Boxy, well said. That sort of childish attitude of yours is exactly the reason I like you. One never truly knows what's going through a child's head, you know. Tell you what, since I was slightly to blame for that whole incident, I'm going to make things a bit easier on you.
Jacob turned his attention back to the gnome.
You there, Fizzle Sprocket. Since you're just an extra, how about you make yourself useful and help my new friend here with its quest?
What? With fighting some mighty undead? No. I have the combat ability of a flea. I have no place on the battlefield, or out of town, or out of my own house for that matter.
I know, but I have a fix for that. I'll just make you a paladin. Nobody can kick bony butt quite like a paladin can. You even get to champion my name. That sounds fun, doesn't it?
The god of probability lifted an arm and went to snap its feathers.
No, it doesn't!
but was stopped by Fizzy's outburst.
I can't accept such a thing,
she continued.
Why do I have to help this man-eating monster with anything? Besides, you're way too shady. If I had to live with your voice in my head, I'd probably go insane within the week.
Rupert stared at her intently with his meatball-tipped toes.
Roll a d20.
Huh?
A fist-sized object fell onto the table, bounced a few times, and rolled towards her before stopping within arm's reach. It was a wooden shape with 20 equal faces and numbers etched on each side.
Roll that die. If you get 15 or higher, you win.
The gnome swallowed audibly. This was sudden, but it sort of made sense considering Craig's occupation. She picked up the so-called D20 and gave it a roll across the table with her short arms. And it landed on a 17.
Oh, lucky you! Exclaimed Beatrice. Congratulations! You win!
A bright light abruptly enveloped Fizzy, only to disappear just as rapidly. Congratulations! You are now a level 1 paladin. Strength plus 2, endurance plus 2, intelligence plus 2. The faith attribute has been created through a special action. Faith plus 1. The luck attribute has been created through a special action. Luck plus 1. Proficiency level increased. Champion of Chaos is now level 1. Faith plus 2. Luck plus 2.
What the shit?
She protested.
I won the roll, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Then how come you forced this on me anyway?
Because I had already decided on it.
Then what was that roll about?
To see whether I would shatter your fragile mind for daring to question my authority.
Oh.
Good thing you won, commented Boxy.
Yeah. Why me, though?
That's the question everyone asks when things aren't going their way, said Lucy. Why me? Why did this happen? What did I do to deserve this? The answer to all of those is really simple.
A single silver coin fell from above and bounced on the wooden table with a small ding, landing heads up in front of Fizzy. She only had to look at it for a moment before comprehending its meaning.
There is no reason. Just the luck of the draw.
The words floated out of her mouth almost all on their own.
Very good. See, you have a handle on this Champion of Chaos thing already.
The sound of a small bell ringing suddenly filled the area.
And it would appear that is all we have time for. I'll be sending you two back to the physical realm now. Just watch that first step.
He raised his left thorax and prepared to snap his leaves for the final time.
It's a doozy.
Epilogue. Boxy and Fizzy suddenly found themselves high in the sky, higher than even the griffins flew, and were plummeting downward. The sheer speed at which they were falling was well beyond any rhyme or reason, causing them to reach the ground within seconds, whereupon they crash-landed into a couple of unconscious bodies.
Yes!
They both woke up screaming, as if meeting with the God of Chance had been nothing more than a nightmare. However, their current conditions left very little doubt in their minds that the meeting had been quite real.
Oxy! What? Oxy! This isn't happening!
The mimic let out a series of confused noises while the gnome stared at it with a stupid expression. She then looked at her hands, her legs, then back to the monster, then back to her own body. Satisfied with her inspection, she then raised her face and both arms to the sky.
Willie!
She shouted.
Wrong body! Not mine!
Oh, shit!
Came a disembodied voice.
I fucked that up! Wow! Here, let me fix it!
Boxy's vision blurred, and the world seemed to spin around wildly for a moment as it was instantly put back in its own body. Fizzy must have gone through pretty much the same, seeing as how she collapsed on all fours and started pounding the ground with her tiny fist.
I almost became a fucking box!
She then raised that fist towards the heavens.
You incompetent, divine bastard! I'll get you back for this!
Hey, now!
Came the voice once more.
I'll overlook that this one time since I was at fault, but take it easy with the blaspheme, all right? It's not healthy.
Fine. Whatever,
Fizzy said.
Then as your champion, can I just say I'd appreciate it if you took things more seriously?
This god thing isn't as easy as it looks, you know. I'd like to see you try and pull off a double reverse astral projection without messing something up. Anyway, I seriously have to go now. You guys take care.
Silence dominated the forest again. The two mortals quietly stared at each other, now fully aware they were little more than playthings for the god of inconsistency.
So, what happens now?
Asked Fizzy.
Time to teach.
Huh? Oh, right. You still want me to give you the artificer job?
No.
The mimic had every intention of fulfilling that quest and earning back what was rightfully its own. It decided to do something that would be a lot more useful than waste time and resources on pointlessly raising the artificer job.
Then what?
You have new job?
Yeah. I'm a level 1 paladin now, apparently. I can't teach you that one, though.
The mentor skill required her to have level 25 in a job before she could pass it on to others.
No. Mistaken. I teach you.
Oh, please. What could you possibly teach me?
How to fight like monster.
The gnome swallowed audibly. This wasn't going to bode well for her. Especially since she'd just heard Bruce's amused cackling somewhere in the back of her head. This has been Fizzle Sprocket. Everybody Loves Large Chests, Volume 2. Written by Neven Ilyev. Narrated by Jeff Hayes. Editing and proofing by Dalton Lynn. Editing, production, and mastering by Griffin Malnar. Sound design by Jeff Hayes. A Sound Booth Theater production. Copyright 2018 by Neven Ilyev. Production copyright 2018 by Sound Booth Theater. For more audiobooks or to watch us narrate live, visit soundbooththeater.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.